afternoon. Preaching that pleases God. God likes it when the word is proclaimed. God likes it when the messenger is prepared. Paul wanted Timothy to also know that God likes preaching when the audience is provoked. He tells Timothy, he says, you preach the word, he said, make sure you reprove. That means to convince, use arguments that will convince people of their error. Make use of the parts of scripture that is good for the purpose of exposing error. Paul again says scripture is good for reproof. And so therefore is advantageous for that. Make use of the scriptures that will expose error and convince people that they have maybe taken an erroneous position. And then he says rebuke. That means to correct or convict one in reference to the evil of sin that exists in their lives. Sometimes we can rebuke ourselves using the word of God. When people refuse to give up their sins, censure them severely and sharply if they will not abandon those sins. And then he says exhort. That word exhort means to comfort. Comfort and encourage all to continue to hold on to the end. Much the same way the apostles exhorted the people on that first Pentecost after the death and burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 40, and with many other words that he testified to them saying, testify and exhort unto them saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And so they were to exhort them. And he says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The audience need to be provoked. Comfort and encourage them to maintain their duties and responsibilities in religion. That's what the preacher is to do when he preaches. He has to exhort the congregation to continue faithfully. Exhort the congregation of God's people to continue to hold fast to their responsibilities and duties in terms of religion. And there are many things in which we can exhort the church. We can exhort the church as Paul did in Romans 12 and verse number 1. We can exhort them to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. We can exhort them to strive together in prayer as Paul did in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. We can exhort them to make sure that they continue to speak the same thing that Paul did to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. We can continue to exhort them to support the weak as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse number 14. We can exhort them to pray and to supplicate for all men as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through verse number 4. We can exhort them to be sober-minded as Paul wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 6. All these things we can exhort. We can comfort. We can encourage. That word is parakaleo, and that's what it means. That is the Greek word for exhort. It means to call near. Call the church near. Comfort them. And it's often translated beseech. So when you see that word beseech, it's the same word as exhort. I beseech you, I exhort you, and that's what we can do. Paul says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. God likes preaching when the audience is provoked to do what God says. But not only that, God likes the preaching where the word is presented patiently. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary as the preacher because you don't see the fruit of your labor. You may not see the effect presently, but you must not give up the case. Because sometimes we become a little disheartened when it just seems like you're preaching, and you're preaching, and it's going nowhere. You feel some kind of way if you're preaching, and it feels like it's falling on deaf ears. But Paul would say in the Galatian epistle, and this certainly could be applied in any of these areas for spirituality, he says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. That would certainly be true of the preacher as anyone else. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You're doing well to preach the gospel in its simplicity and in sincerity. So if you preach the gospel, he says, don't grow weary. You may not see what you want to see when you want to see it, but don't grow weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 10. Paul said to Timothy earlier in this epistle that he had known many things concerning him. That Timothy had known many things concerning the Apostle Paul. And one of the things that Timothy knew of Paul was his long suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and read verse number 10 for us.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine.
Now that's one thing he knew of Paul. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. And what else?
Manner of life.
Purpose.
Faith.
Long suffering. Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that he knew of Paul, Paul says, you have known of my long suffering. Now, that can be applied across the board in many areas. Paul could say, you have known of my long suffering toward my adversaries. You have known of my long suffering toward those who were unconverted and yet needed convincing in reference to the Christ. You have known of my long suffering as those who needed to be restored, who have fallen away from Christ. Shouldn't you and I understand and appreciate that as well? Shouldn't we be long-suffering? You know, there's a lot of folks that are up and down all the time. They just can't seem to get it together. They come in for a little while, and then they fall back out. And you know what we need to do toward those people? We need to be long-suffering. Because sometimes we get tired of hearing the same old stories. The same old stories. I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to do better this time. I'm coming back this time. Y'all going to see me. And then we see you for 2 weeks. You're gone again. And then after a while, the church starts to look at you and say, oh boy, I tell you what, here they come to do it all the same thing. What we need to do is just be long-suffering. And sometimes they go away, and the first thing they do is talk about us and how bad we are and how unloving we are and how we don't care about them and all those kind of things. But Paul says, you just keep preaching and you just keep teaching, he's telling Timothy, with all long-suffering and doctrine. You may not see what you think you ought to see. It may not turn out the way you think it ought to turn out. You may not see any fruit immediately, but don't give up. Do it with all long-suffering. He preached the word of God with a patient, persevering spirit. That's what Paul wanted Timothy to do. Why is this so important? Well, because the Father is long-suffering. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 20, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. But also in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, or despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So we think about God and we think about his long-suffering. And aren't you thankful that God is long-suffering?
Yeah.
That he has suffered long with us, that he's been patient with us. And we have injured him time and time again with our mistakes and with our sins and with our speech and all these kind of things, our manner of living, making mistake after mistake after mistake. And yet the Lord is long-suffering. So long-suffering, in fact, that you and I can constantly, after we've made mistake after mistake, we can call upon God to please continue to be long-suffering with me while I change. I heard Craig saying earlier this morning that you ought to be trying to die to self a little bit more every day. It is a process, isn't it? You didn't get to where you are today overnight, did you? But it takes time, and it takes a process. You got to have time to change your mind about some things as you're developing your mind spiritually and trying to remove some of the carnality and trying to get rid of some things and some old habits and all this kind of stuff. But as you do that, it takes time. And guess what? While you're going through that process, there is a loving God who is being long-suffering as you continue to make those mistakes going toward getting better. Yet, mistakes are still being made, and God is still being long-suffering. So he tells him, you do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. The reason you do it with all long-suffering, because the God that you serve is a long-suffering God.
Amen.
Christ is long-suffering. Our Lord and Savior is long-suffering. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth a pattern of long suffering to all them which are hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And so here it is, Christ is long suffering. There's the reason, that's the reason why you need to be long suffering. That's why you need to preach with all long suffering. You know, as I can tell you this, as a little bit older preacher now, but having started this when I was in my late 20s, I can tell you the difference is night and day. If I had got to you all while I was young, I don't know that you'd have kept me. You probably would have ran me out of here because I'd have been doing some crazy stuff. And probably because I would have lost my patience with a lot of things. And I wouldn't have been long suffering. It wouldn't necessarily have been you, it would have been me. Because sometimes as young preachers, we're not long suffering. And we take everything personally. So when I'm trying to sit up and preach something and y'all don't react to it, I'll actually take it personal, like you doing something to me. And then I'll get mad and start preaching angry, mad sermons, taking out people and stuff like that. And then we'd have more problems. The elders would have me in the office. We'd be back there arguing and stuff like that. Y'all just don't want me to stand for the truth. No, brother, that's not what we're saying. See, older elders sometimes have to talk to younger preachers and try to get them to back up. Look, you just need to be long-suffering. Rome wasn't built in a day. All these kind of things. But as young preachers, we don't understand that. Paul had a young one in front of him. And he's telling him, you need to preach with all long-suffering. Be patient. That's why I still like y'all. That's why I can still like you, because I done got it together to some extent from growing up from some of those kind of things. And so now I'm not in here thinking Newport News supposed to be this in 2-3 years and 5 years and stuff like that. No, I can be patient because I don't have these grandiose plans that we gonna somehow turn the corner overnight. It takes time. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happens to preachers sometimes when we walk into places. We walk into places, and I walked in here as an older preacher than one when I didn't walk in here at 29. I walked in here at about 45. That's a big difference. Now, I walk in here at 45. Guess what some of you all might be ready to do? They say, well, you know what? We just hired Brother Disby. I came and did 3 gospel meetings, right? You all didn't know I was going to end up being your preacher when I first came, right? But then the news came that we hired that brother. He's coming. Well, then some of y'all got excited. Some of y'all probably didn't, but some of y'all got excited about that. And then that's just me. That's my humor. But some of y'all probably got excited about that. Here I come. Okay, now people start making these plans in their mind. Oh, yeah, now there's going to be some changes around here now. When that brother get here preaching like he preaching, he gonna get the elders told, he gonna get all this stuff about to straighten up. Now y'all got a brother coming in here. You know what? And then I come in here, and guess what happens to some folks if things don't change the way they think they ought to change? They now upset because they thought when I walked in here, that means everything was gonna change, everything was gonna straighten up, he was gonna get everybody told, and this place was gonna turn around. Well, when that don't happen, guess what? They're upset. They're upset with me, they're upset with the leadership, they're upset with you all, they're upset with everybody, and consequently, some folk probably can't stay. But I came in with a different attitude. I came in knowing that it's a process, that we need to get in here and just start working together and let the Lord give the increase. And if it takes 5, 10, 15 years, let's just work for the Lord and see what happens. Paul tells Timothy, you preach and you be urgent, keep standing upon the word of God, but do it with all long suffering and doctrine. The reason you do it with all long suffering is because the Father's long suffering, because Christ is long suffering, and because the Spirit's fruit is long-suffering. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Long-suffering, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And so as a result of that, my friend, for a preacher not to preach with all long-suffering and doctrine, thinking that everything's supposed to turn around the way he sees it and all those kind of things, is not realistic. Amen. And it's not according to Scripture. And sometimes what it does is it causes men to start introducing new things and different things in order to push their agendas and to move the needle, if you will, in a way that they think it should go. But it's longer, it takes a longer time when you just stand and preach pure and plain gospel of Jesus Christ and you let that be what moves our needle. Do it with all long-suffering and doctrine, with teaching and instruction. That's the kind of preaching God likes. But he also likes it when the word is professed purely He says, for the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, shall be turned away from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. Time was coming when he says men will accumulate. That's what it means to heap. They will accumulate teachers. What do you mean by that? That means they will add one teacher to another. You're just stacking your teachers. One on top of another. Why are you stacking these teachers? So that they can speak smooth things. So that they can scratch those itching ears. You want those ears that are itching to be tickled. In other words, he was saying there are going to be people who are going to have an insatiable desire to add more variety. The more ministers that you can accumulate, the more choices you can get. And you know what? If you end up getting enough teachers, if you accumulate enough teachers, pretty soon you'll be able to find the ones that talk just the way you want them to. You get enough teachers, pretty soon you'll find someone who will go along with just what you believe. You get enough teachers, you'll find people that would agree with exactly that which you crave. Let me tell you something. If you want to jump and bounce and hop and run up and down this aisle and shout like you got the Holy Ghost, we got some brothers out there that'll let you. Amen. 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 Accumulate enough teachers and see that you can go to the Lord's church and it will look just like a Pentecostal church. Only thing that won't be up there is instrumental music. That's coming, but it just won't be there yet. But they will beat with their mouth. Boom, 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 boom. They'll do all those kind of things. They'll clap, they'll stand, they'll shout, they'll do all the stuff. I done looked at some stuff online that just done blew my mind. Done just blew my mind. If it's not in the church, it's coming. If you accumulate enough teachers, they'll let you do that. What else you want? You think of it. Some brethren gonna let you do it. You want to shout? There's some brethren gonna let you shout. They'll tell you to shout. And you better not sit in here like you're sitting here right now, because if I'm a preacher, some preacher gonna tell you, y'all better come on, give God some praise. What you're sitting there for like you're sucking on a sour lemon. Get up and give God some praise, and you better step up and start clapping and doing all those kind of things that they say is for God. I got a feeling I know who it's for. But if you accumulate enough teachers, they're going to let you do it. And what else you want? I tell you, they'll take our songs, our spiritual songs, and they'll make them so rhythmic that they'll sound like R&B. And they'll change them. And they'll move them to move you, to sensationalize you, and on and on and on. Y'all done seen it. I've got to go on the internet sometimes just to see and disbelief. I can go up there now, I can pull up the internet, and I can see brothers on the stage, and I can see them just dancing while they're singing the songs. See one brother just dancing, he's just moving, he's checking his phone while he's singing and just grooving. Yeah, the church is changing. When you can go in the church and you can see Brandy and Ray J and all of them having a good time with Chris Turner and all of those who are there to sing and have their sing outs and all this kind of stuff, and let Brandy get up and lead songs, hymns, and spiritual songs before the people, and she don't even know all the words and all those kind of things, and Ray J, but at the same time he's doing a show, and in his show he's making all these moves with women and all this kind of stuff. Hey, let me tell you something. If we don't cry out about this stuff, but see, that's the point. You want that, it's there for you. And everything else that they're doing. Now we wonder if we got it right on instrumental music and all those kind of things. So now we get these kind of posts. Well, listen, these brothers gonna lead you right out the church. Amen. They're gonna lead you right out the church. But here's the point. Paul says, you have itching ears, because if that's what you want, you don't have to leave the church any longer to get it. Now, there was a time when you couldn't find that stuff in the church. Amen. But now you can find it everywhere. And so if you want it, you heap to yourselves enough teachers, you're going to get a good plethora of teachers, and somebody's going to agree with exactly what you want. So if we try to hold you to sound doctrine, you'll go right over there to somebody who says you can. Amen. Well, this is not new. They've been doing that. God's people have been having this problem for a long time, way back in Jeremiah's day and in the days of the prophet. They would say to them, don't prophesy unto us right things. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Accumulate teachers so they can eventually agree with you. They are looking for the preachers that will not hold to the straight and narrow way. Because the straight and narrow way is a little too restrictive. But we need those preachers who will broaden the road some to allow us to usher in things that wouldn't ordinarily fit. Things that are agreeable to their own carnal appetites. Things that pertain to what they believe will make them happy. Their ears are itching because they are always desirous to hear some new things. Paul was telling Timothy that the preaching God likes is when the word of God is professed purely. Just preach the word, Timothy. Just be urgent. Do it in season and out of season. Provoke the church by reproving and rebuking and exhorting with all long-suffering and doctrine. Make sure you do it patiently while you're doing it. Don't expect anything to happen overnight. If you can't see the fruit of your labor, just keep working. Don't give up. But here's what you make sure. You profess it plainly and purely because the time is coming when men are not going to want that sound, healthy, pure doctrinal teaching. They're going to want something that moves them, that makes them feel good, that makes them so that they can crave the things that they crave, and they want those kind of things. And so as we're moving into that situation, he says, you make sure you preach it purely because people are going to be craving something else. And because they crave something else, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. They're going to accumulate one teacher on another. You're not going to be enough. That brother's not going to be enough. I've got to have 7 or 8 teachers. Why? Because then I can pit their teaching against one another. And I choose the one I like that agrees with me most. So he's telling Timothy, don't preach for entertainment. Preach sound, sober, strong messages with the intention of saving the soul. Paul says to Titus, speak thou those things which become sound doctrine. Titus 2:1. Preach Jesus the Christ and him crucified. That's what we preach. My friends, now you know why we preach. Now you know what preaching is. Now you know why we can't afford to be overly concerned about how people perceive it and how people respond to it and what people think about us in doing it. We don't mean any harm when we say, I don't have time to care about what you think about what I'm preaching. I just mean that with all sincerity. I don't care what you think about it. I didn't even think to call you and ask you when I was preparing. Did any of you get a phone call asking you, would it be okay if I preach this message today? And would you be offended by the things that I say? No. And you're not going to get that call. And you ought to thank God that you don't get that call. Because the moment I start doing that, I might as well pack up and get out of here because I'm no longer God's preacher. I now belong to you.
Amen.
And it'll prevent me from telling you what you need to hear. Instead, I'll be telling you what you want to hear. Preach the word. That's what preaching is about. Herald that message. Proclaim that message. Publish that message. Cry out against those things that are going on. Cry out. So that people will understand the right way. And my friends, I tell you what, I got a job trying to keep me straight. Trying to die every day to self. I got a job. And so I don't have time to be trying to fool with you if you don't want to do the same.
Right.
And you feel the same way. We got enough trying to do everything we can to be what God wants us to be. And sometimes we feel like we're failing at that miserably. And then when you're falling short in those kind of things, all of a sudden I'm over here trying to deal with this, this, and this, and that. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be in your business because we don't want to. I don't want to be in it.
Amen.
However, we are our brother's keeper, and we'll do whatever we can to help and assist when you need us, because we all need each other. So let's pray for each other, and let's encourage sound gospel preaching, not because I'm preaching it, but because of the nature of preaching, because of what Paul is writing to Timothy. Let's be on that side. Let's understand why Paul is writing it. Let's understand why he gave Timothy such a solemn charge. And let's understand that every preacher worth his salt has to follow this plan, has to follow this model, amen, so that God can be pleased with the preaching, because that's what's going to be beneficial to us, getting us from here to glory. If you're here this evening, we always invite you, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to be a member of that church, of the one you read in your Bible. You don't need to be a member of a denomination. There's no such thing in your Bible, so there ought not to be any such thing with you. Believe in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Change your mind about the life you've been living. Confess Him with the mouth unto salvation, and then be immersed in water so that you can be, you can identify with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And so when He comes back, you'll be ready to go and hear those wonderful words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joys that the Lord has prepared for the foundation of the world. The joys of heaven. That's where we want to be. So we invite you that if you want to be a part of that, come now as we stand and as we sing the invitation song. Amen.